Did you ever feel like what you learned in law school didn't prepare you for the world of running a law practice? Law school didn't teach us how to start our practices the right way so that we could scale them into a thriving business. We didn't learn how to make sure that our businesses would meet our financial goals and provide the type of lifestyle we deserve. After 10 years, I was fed up with struggling in my practice and decided to begin a journey to scaling a successful practice that would actually allow me to finally live the life I've always dreamed of. I invite you to listen in on the conversations I'm having with some of the most successful solo and small firm practitioners, along with leading business entrepreneurs, and share how I am implementing what I am learning, all with the goal of helping you take control of your practice and your life. This is The Law Entrepreneur. Hey there, fellow law entrepreneurs. Welcome to episode 12 of The Law Entrepreneur. I'm your host, Neil Tyra, and today we're going to wrap up my review of the AVO Lawyernomics 2016 conference, which was held a couple weeks ago in Las Vegas, Nevada. And I'm going to try and be a little more succinct than I was last week discussing day one. Listening back on the episode, I feel like I rambled on there a bit, so I apologize for that. I am playing hurt today, however. I'm sick. So I've got my hot tea and lemon here and going to try and get through this. So we may be a little shorter today based on that as well. So thank you for being with me. And as I was saying, we'll talk about day two at the AVO Lawyernomics Conference. And this day was a day filled with a lot of data, a lot of statistics, which I found pretty fascinating and really spoke to the issue of the changing of the legal consumer, the changing nature of the legal consumer. And no more was that evident than in the State of the Union presentation made by Mark Britton, the chairman of AVO, or CEO, who started off his presentation on Saturday morning with a great analogy to Bruce Lee, being a longtime practitioner of the martial arts. I was particularly pleased by that. He took a famous Bruce Lee quote that ends with, "Be like water," to point out that the legal profession has to be willing to adapt to the new modern legal consumer, and failure to do so is going to erode our place in the marketplace and our strength. So this is all about adaptation, all about recognizing that the landscape has changed for the legal community, and it can no longer be practiced in identically the same way as it has been for decades and decades. And he went on to point about four areas of acceleration at AVO, four areas where AVO is going to be moving forward here in an effort to adapt to the new consumer. And the first one was in do-it-yourself legal actions. And he noted that the consumer wants to do things themselves these days in increasing numbers. You can look to things like Uber and Craigslist and a number of other online ventures that put the user in complete control. And that's true with the law today as well. It's being driven by the accessibility of the internet. And companies like LegalZoom have been quick to take advantage of that. And so the point that he was making was that AVO and lawyers themselves have to adapt to that reality. He noted that 59% of the consumers go online to resolve their legal issues or to try to resolve their legal issues. So, you know, fully two out of three. However, of that number, 56% of those say that an immediate discussion with a lawyer is the most valuable self-help tool. So they want to do it themselves, the consumer. They want to go online and work by themselves, but they also find that they need to speak to a lawyer at some point in time. So that was kind of an interesting observation. The second area of acceleration is one of simplicity, that We need to make it easier and more simple for the consumer to contract for and obtain legal services. And people don't recognize the position, that their position is a legal issue many times. And a lot of them just chalk it up as either bad luck or part of God's plan. And in reality, if we made it easy for them to answer the question, is this a legal issue that I need to address? There'd be more business out there for us to capture. So do it yourself, simplicity. The third area of acceleration was in the mobile space. And that's not surprising when Mark indicated that 75% of the people who access AVO resources do so via their mobile device. And then he shared a statistic, which I thought was fascinating, said that we actually pick up our mobile devices, our phones and iPads, what have you, 200 times a day. And you think about that, 200 times a day, we pick up our phone. And if you're awake for 16 hours of the day, you know, you can do the math. So that means that our mobile devices are in our hands quite a bit. I know mine is. And that 50% of all searches on AVO are done from mobile devices. So with that many people using their mobile device to access a platform such as AVO, you would wonder whether or not the issues of privacy come into play. But according to the surveys and statistics that AVO has done, 65% of the users who access their service say they have no concerns with privacy in using the service. So people aren't letting that inhibit their efforts to go onto a site like AVO and look for an attorney. And the fourth area of acceleration was on-demand services. That the second biggest concern that consumers have with respect to hiring an attorney, and this concern appeared 59% of the time in the survey, is that they're concerned about the time it takes to get a return phone call. And again, I've mentioned this multiple times in the past. My friend Mark Miranda from Smart Marketing used to say that if an attorney wanted to distinguish himself amongst the crowd from the other attorneys, he need only answer the phone. Because most law firms make it, a lot of law firms make it difficult for the consumer to get through to an attorney. So that would seem to be agreed to by Mark Britton. So AVO is going to look at doing online chatting, making that service available through their platform, and also calendaring appointments with attorneys so that the consumer can go on to AVO, pick an attorney, and calendar time to speak to that attorney directly. And with those four areas of concentration, do it yourself, simplistic, mobile, compatible, and on-demand services, Mark set the platform or set the plate up for the speakers to follow the rest of the day. So next up was Nichelle Pathania, and Nichelle was there to give us a update on the products that AVO had recently rolled out, and in particular, the two most controversial, I think, AVO Legal Services and AVO Legal Forms. So the Legal Services is a service that is now available. Attorneys can sign up for it, and consumers can make use of it such that it offers fixed fee, limited scope, legal work with a set responsive time. And so in other words, the consumer can buy legal services through AVO from a local attorney. 80% of the clients who need an attorney, Sorry, I misread my notes there. One of the things that Nichelle was saying was that a large number of clients who actually have a legal need require an attorney. A large number of them actually fail to engage an attorney because they don't know how, or it becomes too cumbersome, or they think it's too expensive. And to support that, he reiterated some of the statistics that 59% would rather do it themselves because they'd rather be in control. Yet, of those 59, 42% get stuck and eventually have to talk to an attorney. And 77% say it's too expensive. So all those things factored into creating AVO Legal Services. And what that is the opportunity for the consumer to engage an attorney in 9 different practice areas. These include family law, estate planning, business law, real estate, immigration, and a few others, as an example. And there's a variety of services that the consumer can contract for, starting with a 15-minute consultation. This is under the category of AVO Advisor. So a user can go online, and if they have a legal question, they can select a specific attorney in their geographical area, or they can specify the area and have a random attorney selected for them. And then that attorney is contacted to see whether or not they're available for a 15-minute consultation. If they are, they go through with the process. And it's billed through AVO. So AVO collects the money and sends it to the attorney who provided the services. And this advisory sessions, or these advisory sessions, 15 minutes, start at $39. So it's not real lucrative in that respect, but it brings the consumer to the attorney, and where it goes from there depends on that relationship. They also have the opportunity to engage an attorney to review a document. So it could be that they have already developed, for instance, a parenting plan in a family law matter, and they'd like to have an attorney review that. Or it might be that they've already created a power of attorney. Perhaps they've gone online to the state website, wherever their jurisdiction is, and downloaded a power of attorney form, and they want that reviewed. So they can contract to have documents reviewed, and those prices are established by the length of the document, the complexity of the document, and they range from $99 up to $495. So a little more involved there. Now, they can also sign up for end-to-end legal services. So they, again, using the same system, they can either pick a specific attorney who's signed up with AVO, or they can specify their geographical area and their practice area, what they want done, and a random selection comes up. And the attorney has the opportunity to accept that engagement or not. And it might be they're contracting to have that parenting plan actually done for them. So creating the parenting plan, or they may contract to file for an uncontested divorce and have the attorney help them do that. Or I'm just staying within the family law and estate planning areas here. It could be that they want the attorney to create a last will and testament for them from end to end. And those services range from $99, depending on what they're asking for, up to $2,995. So now you're talking about real legal fees. So this is a service that has been rolled out. The attorney, if you're interested, you go on to AVO, you sign up for it. You're in complete control. You're able, and I have done so. When I came home from the conference, I signed up for AVO Legal Services. I haven't been contacted yet by any clients, but I'm anxious to see how this works. Well, you're in control. You specify what practice areas and what in those practice areas what services you want to offer. Maybe you only want to do consultations, but you may want to do document review, or you may want to do and provide end services according to that price fee. The good thing about it is it really becomes a bit of a lawyer's dream in some respects, because there's no subscription. You don't have to pay anything for it. This is, in essence, free to you to sign up. Now, AVO does take a cut, and it's different on each item of service, whether it be an advisory session or a document review or end product. They do take a cut out of that, but it's pretty reasonable, I think. And it's paid in full by the client to AVO, and then you get paid by AVO once a month for all the services that you've provided under that umbrella. So you don't have to go chasing down payments, and you don't have to really advertise and seek out clients, because they're coming to AVO first and then coming to you. And you can turn the service on and off. So if you're going on vacation, you simply go online and hit the off button, and it stops. And you can do that from your phone. You can do it a variety of different ways. You can also accept individual requests or reject them. And if you reject them, say you're not interested or you're too busy at the moment, it just rolls over to the next available attorney. So it'll be interesting to see how this works out. I think the prices are a little bit below what an attorney would charge themselves if the client was coming to them directly. But on the other hand, you don't have the overhead of acquiring those clients, prospective clients, that you do if you were doing so yourself. So it's kind of a trade-off. It'll be interesting to see where this goes. And I think if I were a new solo practitioner, absolutely, I would sign up for this, because you're interested in getting clients, qualified clients, in your practice area. And this is an ideal way of doing that. The other area that Nichelle was speaking about was the legal forms, the new AVO legal forms to satisfy that do-it-yourself need. And as again, I said, while a lot of people want to start the form and want to think they can do it themselves, oftentimes they're going to require an attorney to review what they've done, or they get to a point where they're stuck and they need to hire an attorney anyway. So what AVO is doing is rolling out these legal forms, and they're making them available for free. Now, there's a lot of forms out there that consumers can buy. They can go to, heck, I was at Staples the other day, and I saw you could buy a will package at Staples. And so that's just a legal form that you're filling in. So people are selling legal forms all the time, and consumers are using them all the time. In this case, AVO's making them available for free, and I think they carry a little more weight, a little more respectability than, say the package that you would buy either online or at CVS. So they make these forms available, and it might be an application for U.S. citizenship form, or it could be a form for a basic business contract. Whatever it is, they plan on rolling out 200 of these in these nine different practice areas. And then the opportunity is there for AVO to then cross-sell or upsell reviews of those documents to the consumer, and that's where it comes back to the attorney. And if you accept the argument that 42% of those who try to do it themselves eventually get stuck and need help, well, if the do-it-yourself form actually becomes more or less a lead magnet. I'm giving away this form for you to fill out, and when you get stuck, then you come hire me to do a document review or actually do the entire legal services for you through AVO. So I think it has a lot of promise, and we'll see where that goes. Next up was Nika Kabiri, and she had the interesting topic of, do lawyers suck? I thought that was a eye catcher. And I won't bore you with a lot of details on her presentation. There were a couple really good takeaways, I thought. She put up a spectrum that showed how consumers feel about the relationship they want to have with their lawyer. And 33% want their lawyer to be the savior, want the lawyer to take control and do everything for them. That's on the one hand. On the other hand, the other extreme of the spectrum, 15% of those surveyed said, the lawyer works for me and I'm in complete control. And in the middle was 52% that see the lawyer as a collaborator. So basically, what this suggests is that most consumers want to have the attorney in their corner, either as a collaborator or to do the work for them. And 15%, as we said, say that the lawyer works for me and want to be in complete control. So her challenge was you need to define the relationship. You need to define with your clients what they're looking for and how the relationship and how you want to operate your law firm. She also made a point, another statistic, as I said, a lot of data in the show today, that 2 out of 3 people don't look for an attorney because they're afraid and they don't know how. So the more you can make your website or your initial interaction with a potential client easier to understand, going back to that issue of simplicity, and less daunting, the more success that you are going to have. And to that end, their observation was, based on customer surveys, was that the most favorable statements on the website address what you can do for your client. So if you're writing copy for your website, you're trying to design your website, focus on what you can do for the client. The least favorable statements, the ones that rang more hollow, more shallow with the consumer, were statements about who you are. So the consumer doesn't really care necessarily where you went to school or what your accomplishments were. They're more concerned, what can you do for them? So to the extent that you can address that in your marketing material, I think it'd be well served. So next, I went to one of the breakout sessions led by Christopher Anderson, and his session was titled Practice by the Numbers. And this was an interesting presentation that really focused on the development, maintenance, and maintenance of a business plan as being critical to the success of your law firm. And that's, you know, standard business 101, and he had lots of data and lots of examples to show as to why that's important to do and how one might go about developing and maintaining a business plan. And so if you're interested in that, you can contact Christopher Anderson. We'll have the information in the show notes, but he can be reached on his Twitter handle is @lawfirmbusiness. But in any case, one piece of information there I pulled out probably had little to do with this presentation, but it's the one that I thought that was interesting. Based on some Department of Labor statistics, the median earnings of salary for a solo practitioner, are you ready for this? Was less than $47,000 annually. So the median of solo practitioners is $47,000 annually. And yet, solos were working 50 to 55 hours a week. So I thought that was an interesting observation. And his point was that this is principally because solo and small firms do not focus enough on developing a business plan. And therefore, they under-earn and overwork. So hopefully, listening to The Law Entrepreneur will help you overcome that deficiency. And we'll delve into that more and more as we go along. And then last, there were other speakers. I didn't go to all those other sessions, but I did attend Richard James' presentation at the end entitled Acres of Diamonds in Your Law Firm, Where to Look for the Diamonds in Your Law Firm. And this was very much a systemic review of how to grow your law firm. And he looked at three key systems for growing your law firm. And it indicated that the lack of systems is the major cause of failure for most practices. What is a system? He defined it as any machine that we can build that you can then set it and forget it with very little maintenance along the way. So it's a systemic approach for performing some function, and that system has to harvest the data, every single point of data about every single thing, every single time, and allow you to be able to inspect it and report on it and look for the things that you want to expect and be able to analyze it, and that it needs to be automated. It needs to be run by either someone or something besides the owner. In other words, you can't do it all yourself. You have to set the system up such that it can run by itself or somebody else can do it. And there are three key systems that he focused on. It's not surprising in terms of business development, but it was an interesting discussion. System one was you must have a lead generation machine. A lead generation machine that produces leads in an automatic, predictable, and repeatable manner. And so you have to have a system for bringing people to your law firm. Now, he had an example, what he felt was proven time and time again, and that was to author a book. It doesn't have to be a big book. It can be a small paperback book, but it has to be a printed version. And that book automatically creates a sense of authorship and celebrity of the author and sets him out as an expert in the field. Even if, you know, even if it's not very good, it has to be, of course, competent, but it doesn't have to be a New York Times bestseller. It serves as a expanded business card, and it's a lead magnet. You give it away, you give away copies of the books in order to bring potential leads into your law practice. And then next comes the second system. Going back to the first for a second, you don't have to do a book. I mean, you can do whatever lead generation methodology works best for you. It could be dinner seminars. It could be, you know, webinars. It could be networking. Whatever it is, you need to bring potential candidates to your door in a repeatable, automatic and predictable fashion. A book is just one idea. System number two, then, you have to convert those leads. When they come in the door, you have to maximize the number of leads that actually convert into clients or who engage your firm. And he actually tracked that through the whole, really, the client life cycle, from getting the lead in the door to setting the appointment to tracking how many show up for the appointment, tracking how many hire you as their attorney, then how many complete making payments in full, and, you know, additional systems for harvesting referrals from those hopefully satisfied clients. So system number two was lead conversion. And finally, system number three was an accounts receivable machine. You have to set up systemic processes that allow you to maximize your fees and keep your clients on plan versus off plan. And he went on to kind of delineate some key financial data that an attorney needs to track. Not surprisingly, profit is the measure of success. It doesn't matter how efficient you are in any other aspect of your business, if you're not making money, you're not successful, and you're not going to be in business very long. But the AR machine, the accounts receivable machine, also has to comply with ethical standards. You have to follow good practices with respect to billing your clients and how you bill them and the reasonableness of your bill and that kind of thing. And the system has to have a communications component built into it so that the client knows when they're to pay, how much they're to pay, and how they're supposed to pay. And you'd be surprised at how many times an engagement agreement between an attorney and a client fails to mention, you know, when payment is to be made or how the payment is to be made, you know, whether it's credit card or check or cash, just leaves that unclear. And his point was the more specific you can make that and the more narrow you can make the options, the better you can track and tune the machine to maximize your return. So that was kind of the end of my involvement with the conference. As I said before, there were a few sessions that I missed. It couldn't be at everything. Some things ran concurrently. But I thought it was a great conference. I thought AWA did a great job. My hat's off to them. I will be back. It certainly was very reasonably priced. I got great value out of it. Even if it was priced higher, I got great value out of it. It was at the Wynn Hotel in Las Vegas, Nevada. So what's not to like about that? It was at the right time of year. So I really liked every aspect of it. And I thoroughly encourage all of you, if you can make it to AWA Lawyernomics next year, that you do so. I think you would find it of great value. So that's it for episode number 12. I apologize for the sound quality today with my cold. But next week, we get back to our standard gig. We're going to have a couple of really good solo practitioners. I think next week, Ben Stevens from Spartanburg, South Carolina, is going to be our guest. And he is phenomenal. He's just great. So that's going to be fun. So thanks for being with me today. Listen, as always, please go over to iTunes, subscribe to the podcast so that you get each week's episode on your devices automatically. While you're there, make sure you leave a ranking and a review, if you'd be so kind. We just hit over 2,000 downloads overnight. So when I woke up this morning and looked, we had over 2,000 downloads. That's fabulous. I'm very appreciative. But our reviews have kind of slowed down. So if you're enjoying the podcast and you haven't done a review, please do so. It really means a lot and would help us out a great deal. The other thing is visit our website. We don't mention this enough, but the podcast does have a website. Interestingly, it's at www.lawentrepreneur.com. And when you're there, you'll see plenty of opportunities to sign up for our newsletter. You get a little advance notice of things that are going on, some behind the scenes insight into what we're doing and where we're heading. It's also a place where I solicit input and feedback and comments from our most dedicated listeners. So love to have you be a part of our mailing list. It's not too onerous. I'm not, you know, bombarding you all the time. Just usually like one, maybe two emails a week. Love to have you be part of the Law Entrepreneur mailing list. So with that, you can reach me at via email at neil@lawentrepreneur.com, neil@lawentrepreneur.com, or via Twitter at Law Entrepreneur. At Law Entrepreneur is our Twitter handle, or jump on to Facebook and you can find us on Facebook. Just search for Law Entrepreneur. We're everywhere. And we hope to be with you again next week. So for now, thanks ever so much, and we'll talk to you soon. Well, there you have it, fellow law entrepreneurs. Thank you for listening and being a part of today's program. The utmost compliment you could pay me is to go over to iTunes, subscribe to the podcast, and leave a strong 5-star review if you think the podcast and what we're trying to do here is worthwhile. Feel free to share the link to the podcast with your friends, family, and coworkers. I would be very appreciative if you did. So until next time, thanks again for listening to The Law Entrepreneur.